All right, at this time, we're going to go ahead and get into the Word of God. And so if you're with us online or if you're here in the auditorium, if you would take your Bibles with me, we're going to go to Romans chapter 8 to start. Normally on a Sunday morning, we're going through a series on 2 Peter. And I've really enjoyed that series, and I've been thankful and I'm praising God for it. Looking forward to get back to it next Sunday. But for this week, we are going to take a little break. I'm going to explain to that why after I read the scripture verse. But Romans chapter number 8, verse number 14. So Romans chapter number 8, verse number 14. The Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you for your protection. We just thank you so much, God, that even though we were asked to do things a little bit differently today, and it is a little bit different, and I am missing the gathering together of the saints, Lord, I'm excited about this opportunity to preach your word to the online audience as well as those that are here. And I pray, God, that your word would go forth and it would not return void. And I pray that what we hear today would encourage our hearts, that would strengthen us in a way that would help us to live our lives and then to be a testimony and a beacon of hope to our world that so desperately needs it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This Sunday is a day that we set aside to bring focus to mental illness, and this is our fourth annual Hurting Heart Sunday, and it is much different than what we were expecting and what we were anticipating. And it started really on the week of the year after the death of Lindsay Smith. And Lindsay battled with mental illness and took her own life on March 19th, 2015. And so we set aside this day every year to not only remember those that struggle with mental illness that are connected to our church, but also to bring hope for you that are here. And I think it's interesting that now that we're doing this as well as this other issue that we're going on, we need some hope, and we need to bring back some encouragement to our hearts and our lives. And so I'm excited to do that this morning from God's Word. And so at that time, and the years prior, when Lindsay passed away and the years prior, many Christians had a negative stigma associated with mental illness. Maybe we didn't understand it completely, and maybe we didn't know how to treat it completely, but a lot of folks said that if you did struggle with mental illness, that was a fault of faith. Maybe you didn't have enough faith, or you didn't pray hard enough, or you just weren't a strong Christian, because strong Christians just don't struggle with these types of things. We've learned since then, and much study that I have done, and the reality is that's not true. If you have the right attitude, if you had the right attitude, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ, and if you're praying enough, you'd be fine. But in preparation for this Sunday over the past 4 years and my own study into mental illness, because I was very interested about it because it had impacted our church, I learned sometimes that what we battle doesn't make sense. And sometimes we have battles that we can't win by ourselves. But through it all, we are loved very deeply by our Savior, and because of that love, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And so I want to make a few statements this morning about mental illness, and then get into a message that I hope will bring hope to your hearts, no matter where you're coming from, no matter what your background is, whether you're watching online or elsewhere, and I think it'll be an encouragement and help to your heart. But the first thing that I want to make mention of as we talk about hurting hearts this morning is that not all mental illness is equal. I think one of the problems is that we try to lump all of these struggles into the same category, into the same group, into the same definition. Sometimes we know exactly what is causing the problem. Sometimes we are down just for a period. And other times we feel like it'll never end and we have no idea why it is happening. All of these are different and they need a different approach. The second thing I want to say about mental illness this morning is that you need to get help. Get help. Don't do this alone. Don't fight this battle by yourself. One of the things that I recommend that people do is go to the doctor. Talk to a doctor about your health, about your body, about what's going on in your life, and find answers for what's happening. Maybe there's a physical issue there. Maybe there's not, but that's one of the places that I would encourage you to invite friends into your life that can encourage you. Talk to folks about it. One of the things I do is if I need something, I'll go to straight up and talk to somebody. Say, hey, I need you and your encouragement in my life. Would you be my friend? I've done that before. And I encourage you to do that as well. Invite people into your life, encourage you. Another thing that I think is really important is eat healthy. Get some fresh air, exercise, enjoy some sunshine, and have friends that will encourage you to do that as well. The other thing I think you should do is get around believers. Get around some Christians who know the Word of God, who can encourage you and pray for you. Then one other thing I want to mention under this is go to those gifted to help you. I think this is such an important point. God does not and has never intended for you to be self-sufficient. It's not His plan to do life by yourself. And many Christians will respond with, well, yes, I depend on God and I depend on the Word of God. And those two things are very important to depend on. But that's not all that He has left us either. First of all, I agree that we should depend on God and His Word. Absolutely. First and foremost, beyond any shadow of a doubt. But God never intended for you to be an island to yourself with just God and the Bible. He's actually designed that you incorporate yourself to connect with other believers of the body of Christ as a body fitly joined together, where we lean on each other and the unique gifts that God has given to us. You see, that's the thing, is we are to bear one another's burdens. We are uniquely gifted by God to help and strengthen each other, to connect with each other. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says, but the end of all things is at hand. I believe that. Be ye sober, therefore, and watch and to pray. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudgingly. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What a portion of scripture that's so fitting for us today. And we do, I believe, the end of all things is at hand. And because of that, be sober, be awake, be aware. Watch in prayer. We're going to do that today. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And then use hospitality one to another without grudgingly. And as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so God has uniquely gifted your brothers and sisters in Christ to be able to meet your needs. And some of those gifts go beyond just the regular meet and greet, but they go into a professional level. And some Christians have been gifted by God to be able to understand the mind and how the mind is working and why behaviors are doing. And we call those counselors. Some might even use the word psychologist. We go and talk to these folks who understand exactly what's happening in your mind. I'm not talking about weird, depend on yourself stuff. I'm talking about believers who know what's happening to you. We need to depend on them and go to them and have some humility in our heart to seek them out. So this morning, for the rest of the message this morning, I want to give you some hope, both for those struggling with anxiety and depression or loss, and those of us who are uneasy about the current situation in which we find ourselves in our world today. To be honest, the virus isn't the thing that has me feeling the most uneasiness. It's the response of the general public to the virus. Amen. That is what's great. There's some things going on in the world today. There's some things happening that, man, wow. If that continues to happen, there could be a real situation here. There could be a real problem here. And so, in all the panic of the world, in all the craziness of the people, in all, even sometimes where there's downright danger, what are some reminders that we need as children of God from the Word of God that will help us not only be peaceful in our own heart, but to administer that to the world in which we live? The first thing that I want to remind you of this morning is that you are a child of God. If you know Jesus Christ, if you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, if you received Him as your Savior, the Bible says to them gave He the power to become sons of God. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. What a great privilege, what a great blessing to know that I am a child of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Praise the Lord for that. The definition of identity is who you are, the way you think about yourself, the way you are viewed by the world, and the characteristics that define you. if your identity as a child of God is anything other than that, being a child of God, you will find yourself struggling very heavily with thoughts of anxiety. You will find yourself struggling very heavily with thoughts of depression. That doesn't mean that if you have your identity as a child of God, you will not struggle. But the reality is that you don't, you will. We need to understand that we are a child of God. You will struggle with fear of the unknowable if you don't understand who you are as a child of God. We have to have that understanding. We have to have that security, that assurance that we are a child of God. And one of the greatest blessings of being a child of God is security. I want to tell you this morning, I want to tell you online, if you are a child of God, you are okay. You're okay. It's going to be okay. You're all right. By the way, let me just add to this. If you do get sick, and if you do perish from that sickness, you're with Jesus. If you're a child of God, you're in the presence of your Heavenly Father. You're in heaven today. What a blessing is that, to have that assurance, to have that hope, to know that as believers, we will see one another again. We will have a great reunion in heaven, and we will live together for all eternity. What a great hope. What a great blessing. But even still, you are okay. You're okay. You're all right. You see, for me, the reason why this is important is in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father." You see, this morning, you do not have to belong to the bondage of fear. You don't have to be afraid. You are truly okay if you are a child of God. Instead, we have a loving Heavenly Father where we are invited to call Him Abba, Papa, and a close relationship. For me, this is very personal. For me, over the past year, I've learned a great deal about what it means to be okay. For most of my life, I got what I call my okayness from other people. In other words, I would learn what people liked, what they liked from me, and I would alter my behavior to deliver that to them so that I could have their approval, and when I got their approval, I felt okay. The reality is, if somebody didn't like me, it usually would upset my okayness, and I would worry, and I would fret, and I would fear, and I'd try to figure it out. This is a recipe for disastrous mental health, by the way. Instead, we get our okayness, if I can use that word, from our identity as a child of God. I want you to listen to these verses. I want you to listen online. I want you to, if you have your Bible this morning, to go ahead and open it to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. What a powerful passage of scripture that God gives us as children of God, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. I want to read it for you. It says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." And I might interject, not only can we say, I will not fear what man can do unto me, I will not fear what viruses can do unto me, because the Lord is my helper. A classic that we all know and love is Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." We need to realize that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. In that same chapter, Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39, again, love this passage of scripture. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Aren't you thankful for that passage of scripture? In times like these, we can read that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, or microbe, or whatever, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And I want to take you to one last passage of scripture in this point of the fact that you are a child of God and you are okay. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to say to those here this morning and those online, if you're upset and you're worried about this virus and you're scared because you do not know where you will spend eternity when you die, I want to tell you that you can know for sure because Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. And you can be saved today, and you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can believe on His name and receive Him as your Savior and thereby know that you have eternal life. I want to challenge you, if you do not know for sure that your sins are forgiven, if you do not know for sure that Jesus is your Savior, make that decision today. Make sure that you trust Him as your Savior. And then one final note on this morning is I want to tell you that God is in control. God is in control. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21, the Bible says, there are many devices in man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. God's counsel will stand. God is in control. In Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 24, the Bible says, the Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. What God decides, what God has chosen, that will happen. God is in control. Because God is in control, that brings great peace to my heart because I am His child. Realize that He is the only source and sustainer of everything that we need. He alone is the Creator God. He alone has no beginning and no ending. He alone is morally perfect. He is infinite in His knowledge and His wisdom. He is unique in who He is as God. And He alone accomplishes everything He purposes to do. One of the things about being human that's frustrating is this idea of purposing to do something and not being able to do it. I have done that many times. Man, I meant to do that. Man, I was planning to do that. Man, I had hoped to do that. But the reality is I did not get to that. And I often have to have this conversation with my wife, explain to her why I didn't do what I had previously promised to do. But the truth is, God, when He purposes to do something, will accomplish everything that He purposes to do. Nothing that God has decided to do will ever fail to come to pass. In Psalm chapter 103 and verse 19, the Bible says, the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. The continued management of all things is what we call, a term that we call in the Bible, Bible talk, is providence. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 26, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, and bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names with the greatness of His might, for He is strong in power, not one faileth. God providentially also controls the nation. In chapter 40, verses 15 through 17. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before Him are as nothing. And they are counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. You see, He controls the nations. He controls the weather. He controls the famines. He controls the floods. He controls the hurricanes. He controls the volcanic eruptions. He controls the viral outbreaks. He controls it all. He decides what He will do. But with that, He also delights in what He decides that He will do. God delights in Himself and in His works. Isaiah 46 and verse 10, declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Psalm 115 and verse 3, the Bible says, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. And here's the thing that we have to remember, because right now you're beginning to think, well, wait a minute, maybe God is unjust. Maybe God isn't fair. Maybe God doesn't know what he is doing. Why is this happening? We have to remember that everything God does is consistent with his perfection in every one of his attributes. With his wisdom, with his love, his justice, his holiness, and so on and so forth. It's consistent with who he is. Every one of God's decisions has behind them infinite wisdom, infinite love, infinite justice, infinite holiness. This is who God is. And because of this, we as children can delight in his decisions that he has made, even though we don't completely understand the infinite wisdom that went into that decision. We can still delight in his decisions, and we still should delight in his decisions. God doesn't make decisions based on flawed or imperfect information. One of the things that frustrated me so much about this whole thing, about moving our services to the online virtual format, is the fact that I don't have all the information. It was frustrating to me because, again, on Friday we heard that there was a couple of visitors who had come who were sick. They were in close contact with a person in the mainland who had been confirmed having received the virus. They knew that they were in contact with this person, and still yet they decided to go to Maui for their vacation. And on Maui, they decided to continue their vacation, and they got sick. And they went to the hospital, and at the hospital they decided not to tell the doctors the information that they needed to properly treat them and quarantine them. And they were released, and they decided that even though they were sick, even though they went into the hospital, even though these things that were there, they still continued on to Kauai. And once again, they got more sick here. And they went to the doctors here, and they finally told them that we have been in close contact with somebody who has the virus. And as a result, they were quarantined. And as a result, here we are. And from March 9th to the 13th, they were staying at the Marriott here, right where we stay, right where we live. And so now we wait. Are you sick? Am I sick? We don't know. We don't have the information. And it's frustrating, but God has the information. God is in control. Everything he does with everything he is. God has never had internal conflicts within himself. And trust me, I had internal conflicts making this decision. He is always at perfect peace with himself, and therefore, I delight in his decisions. Everything that God is, he always will be. He is in control. Finally, I want to give you this point, and that's this, is that we have a mission. Yes, we're the children of God. Yes, he is in control. And yes, he has called us to a mission that we are called to accomplish. He has called us, first of all, to love each other, to love the lost, and to bring the gospel to those that need to hear it. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the world. Our job, yes, virus. Our job, yes, uncertainty. Our job, yes, economic collapse possibly. We don't know. Is to continue to get the gospel message to those that need to hear it. That's our mission. And come what may, that's what we do. You know, one of these things that I'm reminded of when I was in college, and maybe a little bit more foolish, I don't understand, and maybe I wouldn't do that today knowing that I have children and family members and a church to be responsible for, but when I was in college, I went on a bus route that it was a male-only bus route. It should have given me the inclination then that maybe this wasn't such a good idea, especially with most people that go to college to find a Mrs. No women were allowed on this bus route. And the reason why they weren't allowed on this bus route was because the bus route went to inner city Chicago. And there was many times I would go and knock on the door and there'd be holes in the wall and blood on the ground. And I would ask the kids as they come to the door, what is that? And being from Montana, I had no clue. And they said, oh, well, somebody died here last night. They were shot. Gang-related activity. Unbelievable, right? We were going to this one house, and these kids were not allowed to ride the bus because of the virus that they had, or the sickness that they had. And the bus captain told me, he's like, listen, this is a male-only route. Basically, it was me and him. That was it. He said, if you want to stay in the car, I get it. I totally understand. But I'm going to go visit these kids. They have AIDS. And I made a decision. I said, you know what? I'm going to go in the love of God, with the grace of God, and I want to share the message of God with these kids. And I went. I wasn't all over the slobbering. I wasn't crazy. But I ministered God's love to them. And again, I don't know if I'd make that same decision today, knowing I have children and knowing I have responsibilities and things. I was a young kid, had no girlfriend, no nothing. Just doing the ministry of God. And the reality is there's a mission to love people. There's a mission to get God's word out to people. And we're going to spend a lot of time looking at this verse next week because we're going to get back to our study of 2 Peter. But I want you to look at verses 7 and 8 of 2 Peter chapter number 1. Peter was talking about faith, and he said, adding to your faith these things. And in verse number 7, he says, to add godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Kindness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Love the brotherhood. Love fellow Christians. You know what's amazing to me? Is in times of uncertainty, in times of difficulty, in times of trial, in times of issues, you know what a lot of Christians do? They attack each other. I went on Facebook earlier this morning. I probably shouldn't have done it, but you know what it was full of? All kinds of Christians attacking all other kinds of Christians for having a virtual church service. Well, maybe we should just have a corona party and all get sick. I don't know. Praise the Lord, right? I know what some of you would bring to that party. Unbelievable. But the reality is, you know, the thing is, yeah, if somebody wants to be cautious, if somebody wants to do a government mandate or a government recommendation, and they want to honor the king or whatever, and they want to do what's right by their people, why don't we just love the brotherhood? I know a guy, he's going, I'm going full strong, ain't nothing going to stop me. Maybe they might, I don't know. But we have a mission. And the mission is to love the brotherhood and love people who may do things a little differently, who may make different choices, and then have charity or love. I'm going to speak on this at length next week. But man, we got to start loving people. You know, one of the things that happened, and I know Shiloh and Shiloh here, we're offline, by the way. Something happened, it's done, so we're just us. Wi-Fi cut out. It's all right. But the thing is a couple weeks ago, you know, Pete passed away, and at the same time, Arthur Brunn gets arrested and a bunch of other folks get arrested for peddling drugs in our neighborhoods. And I was feeling bummed, man. And I was feeling like, what's going on? And our daughter right now, the youngest, Nalea, she's teething these two bottom teeth at the same time. And she's just a lot to handle. But one of the things that soothes her is to put her in the stroller and walk her up and down the road. She just likes it. So that's what I've been doing. I've been putting her in the stroller and walk her up the street and walk her back the street. And one of the things that got impressed on my heart was while as I'm feeling bummed, I'm feeling upset, feeling mad, feeling angry. Like, I know, I'm glad these guys got caught, but unbelievable, you know? And for whatever reason, God, and I'll speak on this next week, God just touched my heart. And he moved me to this house and the houses that are on the street that are my neighbors. And he said, why don't you start praying for them? And so I did. I started walking up and down my street, tears coming down my eyes, just praying for my neighbors. That's what I do now. I like to take my daughter, I have to put her in my car seat, put her in the stroller, and just walk up and down my street just praying for my neighbors. The people of God need to know that there's a church of God that cares, that loves them. We're all too busy casting our judgment. We're all too busy casting our opinion. We're all too busy getting involved in all of our political business. We just need to start praying for people. Start caring for people. And that needs to be our mission, to love them. So what do we do in light of all of this uncertainty? I think we keep going for God. Trust him. Get stronger and love people. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. We thank you for this time. God, I thank you for your word. It's been an encouragement to my heart. And God, I do pray that you would help us and strengthen us. I pray that you would work in our lives and our hearts. God, my prayer is that you'd help us to understand our identity as a child of God. Wow, it's powerful. To know that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ and that you will never leave us nor forsake us, and nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Thank you for that. And God, my prayer is of protection for our church family, for our island, and for our world, that this virus would be able to be controlled and contained, and that we would begin once again be able to get the gospel out into our world, and that we could make a difference. And Lord, we pray now that you bless this time of invitation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 162.